Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, the game in the game, Nashville at Mike Vrabel's just up to the podium with a smile. It's a little bit of a surprise, so we'll send it over to Mike Vrabel now.
Mike, how is Will? Have you gotten the test results back? And depending on his health, is it... Do you have to weigh the fact that you're eliminated on whether or not you put him on the
field?
Well,
I don't think that that necessarily weighs into, you know, the decision right now. I want to make sure that, one, that he can protect himself, that he can do his job up to the expectations that we have, and that that he, you know, really the most important thing is that any player can protect themselves out there when, you know, during a game. So it's Monday right now. You know, he's sore, obviously, like a lot of guys. And we'll see, you know, how things go.
Does it factor in maybe to a guy like Jeff or somebody like that who was expected to miss some time, maybe could have forced his way back in had you guys needed him for a playoff push, but now how does that change your...
Well, I don't know if you know, I think everybody that's out is doing everything they can to get back until, you know, we have to or decide to put them on injured reserve for, which would, you know, at this point in time, end their season. So that hasn't happened. So I know that everybody that wasn't healthy enough to play in the game is doing everything they can to get back and realizing that, you know, every snap is meaningful. It means something to somebody. And, you know, so I wouldn't exclude Jeff from that or anybody else. If they can play, we want them to play.
Sure. Will's injury to what Ryan went through these last couple of years?
I think the mechanism is the same, is similar, and, you know, those are things that, you know, make it difficult, and, you know, those are things that come up, you know, as you're, you know, getting tackled or in a pile or anything like that.
Safe to say,
you know, I mean, just kind of same thing he has been dealing with.
I guess as far as run defense goes, how many missed tackles did you count? And do you?
Well, there was a handful, but there was also some, you know, I don't want to, you know, get this, you know, but 3rd and 15 and they handed off for 14 yards. You know, there was a couple of those 3rd down and long situations where some of those yards were had. There were some snaps on 1st and 2nd down and normal down and distances that weren't good enough, but then there was also, you know, a lot that were. So I think some of the numbers, and again, I don't have a percentage, but there's somewhere on 3rd and long where they handed off and were in a substituted defense. And, you know, either way, it's got to be better. There were some missed tackles, and, you know, we have to be better all the way around in all three phases.
What about on the interior of the D-line? Like, it seemed like a lot of the runs were between the tackles. What was happening there?
Well, the couple that were inside were, you know, the 3rd and long where, you know, Nico and Arden are playing on 3rd down. There was another, you know, 12-yard gain backed up on the, you know, 2-yard line that, you know, went inside that, you know, got to fit, get off blocks and tackle. You know, and then there were some good snaps where they tried to cut back and Marlon or Jaleel or, you know, Keandre or, you know, one of those guys inside were there.
At what point is determination to establish the run turn into stubbornness to do something that's been futile?
Well, we don't ever want to be stubborn, but also knowing that, you know, some of those things that allow us to gain yards downfield in the play pass game are also set up through that run game. And, you know, so I don't think it's a stubbornness. We have to be balanced. We have to use those formations and those running plays, you know, to set up some of those play passes down the field and, you know, be able to, you know, create good pockets for the quarterback so that they can deliver the football so whoever's in there can step up and throw the ball downfield. You know, like we did a couple times yesterday and that we have done, you know, in the past. And then we'll have to just try to stay as balanced as possible and let those things marry with each other.
The offensive line got a makeover in the off season, and it hasn't necessarily translated into better play. Do you need to maybe reevaluate what you look for in offensive linemen and how they play?
Well, we're just focused on this week right now, and we'll worry about and be as diligent as we can in evaluation at every position, in the off season. But, you know, right now we're focused on and continuing to find ways to improve, and most importantly, find ways to win. And then in the evaluation process, that'll come after the season.
Line and are asked about the offseason, kind of always pivot every time, though, worried about the next game. Or Paul asked yesterday about the offensive line and just talked about protecting as opposed to what happened in the offseason. Is the accountability for the fans about what happened with the offensive line this year that kind of dodging a little bit?
No.
With the offensive line, like, and talking to some of them, they said that it wasn't anything new that they saw, but they did have problems communicating and just picking up assignments. Is that something that, like, how do you handle the accountability for that? Is that the players? Is that the coaching staff, collective? How do you handle that?
It's all of it. It's every single one of us. It starts with me, and, you know, we knew that this was a fast defense. Like, you know, there's good players. You know, you like to watch tape, you know, Malik Collins and, you know, Sheldon Rankins, like, we knew where they were going to be. And if you're not good with your communications or staying, you know, good on your combinations, they create penetration, which then makes you loose and everything else. So we've said this, like, there's a call that goes in. At that point in time, it's on the 11 players in each phase to communicate, to work together with somebody, to identify the mic, to know your assignment, to strain, to do everything that you can to put yourself in a position to protect the guy with the ball, whether it's a run, whether it's a keeper, whether it's a play pass. Like, that's how it goes down, that the coach tries to give them as many details throughout the week and show them some things that are going to help them. And then you have to go out, and if there's new looks that you see, then you come over on the sidelines and you make adjustments, or you, hey, this is what's happening now. I know we had talked about this, but, you know, for the most part, you know, they were pretty much, that was the structure that we had seen in the previous weeks.
When they're running 17 times for 12 yards on first down, is that setting up play action? Are people biting on that, or are they having a fine time stopping the run with what they have up front? Did it establish anything for you to do in play action?
Well, we hit a strike behind the linebackers, you know, late in the game to Hopkins. So it must have done something. I mean, there was
– was that trade-off worth it?
We didn't win the game. And, you know, you have to understand that there's some of these play pass protections are also advantageous to allowing the quarterback to move the spot, to change his launch – location, and, you know, give us an opportunity to protect, but also still run a route that we think is going to be good versus their coverage.
Well, what's the trade-off there in terms of the frequent conversations we had about not being behind the sticks when out of all of those first downs you're coming out generally at second and 10 or worse?
Well, that was, you know, yesterday we've, you know, done well, and, you know, again, previous weeks of, you know, our average gain on first down, whether that be running or throwing it, try to stay as balanced as possible. And also try to do, possess the football, try to find ways to win a football game. And, you know, it didn't work out yesterday.
How much freedom does Will have at the line of scrimmage? And has he exercised it a lot to this point in terms of getting you in the right plays? I think specifically I'm thinking of a couple instances yesterday where it looked like they were bringing run pressures and you essentially ran into it.
Yeah, and I think that there is some of that that we have to be able to expand on, or at least, you know, can it and try to, you know, maybe get it to the other side to give us a little bit of better angle. You know, and there's some, you know, relief throws that we can make and things that are in there. And You know, I think it's important just to, you know, as long as everybody's on the same page between him and the receivers or him and the offensive line and what we're trying to do, that's what's most important. And, you know, we'll continue to work on that.
Mike, what led to Tier Tart getting released, and did he ask for his release at all?
You know, I think we can touch on some of those personnel decisions, you know, at the end of the season. But, you know, we're excited about the guys that are here now and working with them and moving towards them and, you know, finding those guys that that we can work with.
I say to all the guys, Mike, about finishing the season strong the right way after being eliminated.
Yeah, I think that that's probably going to be something I'll try to, you know, make sure I'm consistent with when they come in here, you know, on Wednesday, and making sure that, you know, it's not too watered down. I don't know. It's new. Right? It's a new experience for me, you know, so I'll have to give it some thought and try to, you know, make sure that we're doing everything that we can to continue to try to teach them, to develop them, you know, inspire the ones the best that we can.
Mike, are Derek's days as an elite running back in the NFL over?
I don't think that, you know. I think that, you know, that we understand that Derek's got a certain running style and a great skill set. And, you know, we have to be able to get him going and give him some space and get him to the second level. And he, in turn, has to be able to, you know, help, you know, the line, help the receivers, help the tight end. You know, it all goes hand in hand. You don't just hand it to a guy and they beat three people. But you know, there's also times where guys make a great cut or guys make a guy miss, or Derek stiff arms a guy. You know, so certainly after yesterday, nobody was good enough, everybody involved.
All seven sacks yesterday were in the second half and overtime. Was there something that they did that made an adjustment that allowed them to get there, or was it more breakdowns on that from the second half that didn't occur in the first half?
Well, they had, you know, two through three quarters. You know, one came, you know, down in the red zone. I would say that, you know, we're trying to hit one. We're trying to play that we had designed from before, and, you know, they didn't bite on it. Will probably waited it out a half a count too late, and it wasn't there. Would have liked for Jalen to block a little bit longer, but maybe we can help him out and just say, hey, they got us. They didn't bite up on, you know, the fake. You know, you go by case-by-case basis. There were some that, you know, tried to throw the ball on first and 10 one time and wasn't open, so it was a sack. So, you know, it's a lot of things. Third down, they show up. Third and long, you know. So it's just got to be, you know, cleaner, you know, with everybody involved, with the, you know, how quickly we get open, the concepts that we're giving them, how quickly we get open as receivers, how long and how well we block, you know, the quarterback's movement in the pocket, all those little things that, again, that all goes into it. I mean, yeah, there's times where we got beat, but there's also a play and a process to the entire operation.
You're starting two rookies on the left side of your offensive line that seemed to have a rough day yesterday. A lot of teaching tape there, and what's the message to them as they bounce back?
They'll keep working. They'll keep fighting. Keep improving. Try to, you know, keep taking the little details, the technique, and, you know, it's not easy developing young offensive linemen, but we'll, you know, at this point in time in the season is what I'm saying with the amount of reps and, you know, where they're at physically. But, you know, working together is something that's critical, you know, using length, you know, not letting them get into your body. You know, but and they had some snaps where they blocked them well too. You know,
do you think that last sack of Levis was a hip drop? And I wonder if you had any more thoughts on that. I know that I guess the NFL is looking to ban it next year.
Yeah, I don't have any. You know, it was a sack that led to a player getting injured.
Levis
That was like, talk about the interception and how the corner kind of came off of Burks on the deep route, and he had an alert, but he threw it to Hopkins. How do you take him through that whole process of, okay, I know Hopkins is a guy that you want to throw it to, but, you know, look at other options as well?
I mean, I think just, you know, there's a primary, and there's obviously things that you have to do before you throw it there, and make sure you're looking out in front of the crosser, and, you know, understand that you have time there to set up, and, you know, wasn't, you know, we're trying to protect you to get to the edge and allow you to set up, and, you know, maybe by doing that, he would be able to see trailing. I know that he stayed on the move and, you know, thought he had hop, and, you know, it's, you know, we gotta do a better job of protecting the football.
When it's all about winning, how frustrating is it for you, like on Sunday nights, when you've lost overtime games at home when there was a missed extra point involved?
Well, whether you miss an extra point, whether you don't intercept the football, whether you throw an interception, all those things contribute, whether you have a penalty, you know, on a punt that's backed up. Like, there's a bunch of plays that contribute to that. I would say that losing is devastating. You know, it's, you know, again, you just, your players put a lot into it. You know, they play hard. You know, being close isn't good enough. Everybody feels better about the work that you put in when you win, and you want the players that go out there and work for you and play for you to have success. You want them to feel that, you know, and then their bodies don't hurt so bad, and they come to work, you know, and then we all come to work.
You might be two PATs away from two more wins. I thought about that in terms of how close you are to a different story.
I think about a lot of things, you know, so can make points up other ways. You know, Nick's been really good for us. I'm sure he'd like to have that kick back yesterday. We'd like to have a lot of things back.
You mentioned how this week's, or these next 3 weeks, are kind of a new experience for you as a head coach. How difficult do you expect it, or do you expect it to be difficult to keep the same messaging?
I don't know what the messaging is going to be. You know, it's just, you know, we'll figure that out, and we'll get them as prepared. We'll figure out who's available, who we need, you know, to make sure that, you know, our guys are ready once we determine who that's going to be, to make sure that they're ready and that they all prepare as starters. And, you know, a lot of these guys are just getting their first opportunity of playing with us or playing with anybody.
Challenge like keeping the morale where it needs to be in these last 3 weeks.
You know, gonna rely on the assistant coaches, rely on our leaders, be great every day. Don't be phony. You know, be as authentic as possible, and keep teaching them the things that are going to help them.
You talked about guys and how much you expect out of the defensive line because of the money that you pay those players. Using the 11th pick on Peter, are you disappointed with where his play is right now?
No, I think Peter's been working hard, and, you know, again, the player evaluation, you know, we're putting a team together, and Peter works, Peter's improved. Not sure what the first part of your question had anything to do with Peter, but we're just, okay. We all have high expectations. That's the nature of this business, and we understand that, and we need to continue to raise expectations with whoever's out there.
Without the playoffs to coach for, I guess, now, or these weeks that I guess you have to rely on why you got into coaching in the first place, and competitiveness and love for the little things within a season?
Well, certainly love football. I love helping players. Remember that. Remember why you got into this, and watching them improve and have success, and you know, the you know, embracing their competitive spirit, and making sure that that we're doing everything that we can to put them in the best positions to go out and enjoy it and enjoy it from, you know, having success and winning and making plays. And, you know, it's a fine line each and every week.
Do you use these last three games maybe to take a look at guys like Caleb Murphy or Otis Reese and some of them beyond maybe just special teams?
I mean, potentially, but, you know, I don't – not ready to answer that, you know.
If Will can't go, is it simply Ryan, or do you have to consider Malik?
I don't think, you know, Ryan would – you know, we'll see where we're at based on Will's health, and we'll keep you updated.
Was any idea if Murphy Bunting's going to miss any time?
I'm sure – every player that didn't finish the game could probably miss some time, and he was one of those players. So we'll have to be ready for where he's at Wednesday at practice and moving forward. But, you know, when you're not able to finish, you know, then you have to, you know, then there's always concern. There's guys sometimes that finish the game and then come in with something, and then there's guys that leave the game. So I know that he wished he could have tried to finish, but that wasn't going to be a possibility.
Are you understanding that the full review will come at the end of the season? But yesterday there was some finality knowing you can't make the playoffs. When you went home last night or came in this morning, is there some, I guess, theme that you think about of why this season is where it is right now, earlier than you expected?
No. We're focused on, you know, I appreciate the question. I do. I just we're focused on what we have to do today, on who's injured and how they feel and how many guys are sick with the flu and all this other stuff. That's my focus, is not, you know, going back and, you know, and evaluating that right now.
There's two more home games left and you're eliminated from the playoffs. You talked about high expectations. For what would be the team's message to the fans about the two home games to finish out the season and the belief in the program going forward into future seasons?
Well, I think the belief going forward, you know, we can always discuss that. I mean, when our guys play hard, if you feel like our guys loaf consistently, I mean, obviously there's a lot of snaps in the game. We can all pick them out. But, you know, when we take the ball there at the end and, you know, three negative plays on defense that, you know, from guys that maybe have been here on the practice squad or just got here, you know, and obviously the playing with great effort is going to rally, you know, a fan base. Winning always is going to be the forefront of what we do. And if we can, you know, eliminate some of the plays that are going to get us beat, and, you know, there's still good football in there. There is. It's all over the place. We go down, we convert a fourth and one on first drive of the game, hit a couple X plays, third and 10, they jump off sides, we snap the ball, Will looks for the flag, we throw it down there to the 2-yard line and we score. Like, that's what good football teams do. But then there's just, you know, there's the plays that, you know, aren't consistent enough and not efficient enough defensively. You know, get an interception, get a third down stop, you know, but then we give up some plays that cost us. Special teams, we do a good job. We're protecting a punter and get a penalty at a critical time in the game. So there's a lot of good in there. And, again, I know that this sounds like it sounded a couple weeks ago, you know, but unfortunately there's just a lot of too many examples of the bad football that ultimately you can't overcome.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you go. That was Mike Vrabel. A lot to unpack there, but what I want to get into coming up next, some updates about Will Levis, and if Levis can't go, then who? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Mike, how is Will? Have you gotten the test results back? And depending on his health, is it? Do you have to weigh the fact that you're eliminated on whether or not you put him on the field?
Well, I don't think that necessarily weighs into you know, the factor, the decision right now. I want to make sure that, one, that he can protect himself, that he can do his job up to the expectations that we have, and that that he, you know, really the most important thing is that any player can protect themselves out there when, you know, during a game. So it's Monday right now. You know, he's sore, obviously, like a lot of guys. And we'll see, you know, how things go.
That was Mike Vrabel on Will Levis. Now, it was reported this morning from Ian Rappaport that Will Levis is believed to have a sprained ankle. He'll get an MRI today, so I'm sure we'll get more updates on Will Levis' condition after today, maybe at Mike Vrabel's Wednesday press conference. But that's the thing, is if Will Levis isn't at full mobility and he can't evade pressure, I don't want him out there. But if not Levis, then who? Mike Vrabel was asked, hey, if it's not Levis, is it Ryan Tannehill? This is what Mike Vrabel said.
If Will can't go, is it simply Ryan, or do you have to consider Malik?
I don't think, you know, like Ryan would, you know, we'll see where we're at based on Will's health, and we'll keep you updated.
We'll see where Ryan's at. We'll see where Will is at.
He didn't finish the sentence. He didn't finish the sentence, which made me think about a conversation we've had, mm-hmm. Derek, about Ryan Tannehill and where he is in his career. Ryan Tannehill is looking around the league and seeing all of these guys play.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Mullins, Josh Dobbs. I mean, you go down the list, and there's new guys every week mm-hmm. playing. Ryan Tannehill, there will be a good market for him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to go in there as a health concern, I'm sure, personally.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded to me like it was, I don't think we're going to play Ryan. That's if you could finish the sentence.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering if he was going to say.
Yeah,
but that's just me guessing.
And he probably doesn't want to say it today.
No, he's not going to make. He doesn't have to make a decision today on who's going to be the quarterback this Sunday. They're going to evaluate it, allow Levis to, you know, get himself some treatment and see how the ankle is come Wednesday when they first get back on the football field, and then ultimately Thursday and Friday. And if he's ready to go, then he's going to be the guy. But
who would you play if Will can't go?
I play Malik Willis.
I would
because
too.
My thing is this. I may want to play Ryan Tannehill, but if I made Tannehill the starting quarterback, Tannehill is not going to say no. He's going to go out there and play. But if I'm Ryan Tannehill and I'm his agent, I'm like, I don't want to play behind this offensive line. These last three games ain't going to mean a hell of beans for me going into free agency. Actually, it may hurt my free agency because I might get injured again, or I just can't operate the way I need to operate as a quarterback. So if I'm him, I'm like, nah, thank you, but no thank you. I don't want to go in. You see what that – do you see that offensive line? Do you see that hazard in front of me? You think I want to go in there? And y'all ain't – if y'all want to, you know, redo my deal and add some more years and give me a bunch of money, yeah, I go in there. But right now, my deal is expiring. Y'all are not keeping me. Don't even ask me to quarterback this team because we're out of the playoffs. I would understand if we were still in the hunt for a playoff.
That would be a totally different
thing. That'd be totally different.
Right.
Yes, but we're eliminated from the playoffs. This offensive line is bad. Horrendous. Why would I want to come back again?
And that was the second or third question in there because it had to do with Jeffrey Simmons as well. And Mike Vrabel said all of the guys that are injured are fighting to get back to where they can play. And if they can play and protect themselves, I would expect them to play. But I don't think it's that simple when you are out of the playoff race. I think it's a legit question.
You have to think
and
about
I would
the
say for Jeffrey Simmons specifically, if we're using him as an example, if he's not 100%, I would think twice, even if he came in there. You know, Big Jeff, he wants to play, right? He wants to be out there with his guys. He's on the edge of the field, right? He's right there. It's not in uniform, but he's cheering the guys on. You know, he is all up in the game. He's a competitor. He's a leader. But I would not want him in there.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be healthy to start next year. That's how I would feel about it. And I have seen in other sports, teams take that approach. Mm-hmm. Baseball, definitely hoops, definitely hockey, where If you're out of it, you say, look, I know if our season was on the line, you would be in there. Mm-hmm. But we're not, and I know you want to play, but I want you to be thinking about down the road. You're a part of our future, and I don't want you to go into this offseason with another health issue here or make it worse.
It's the what's the point factor.
Right.
Remember last year, the Cowboys game, Derrick Henry didn't play that game. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons didn't play that game because the what's the point factor was just too high.
It didn't mean anything.
Josh Dobbs quarterbacking this team, beating the Cowboys doesn't necessarily do anything to help us make the playoffs. It's let's just try and win the game, and if we don't, okay, fine, we're going to rest everyone before the Gotta Have It game against the Jags. The what's the point factor, I think, for both Levis and Jeffrey Simmons, you have to consider it. I know both of them want to play. And it pains part of me because I have so much fun watching Will Levis play. Mm-hmm. But what is really the point? What's the risk versus the reward? But if it's not Levis on Sunday and even moving forward, I'm with you, teammates. I play Malik Willis. You know what you have in Ryan Tannehill. You likely won't have Ryan Tannehill next season. Yes, Ryan Tannehill gives you the best chance to win. But winning, I don't think, is necessarily priority 1A for this team right now. You're out of the playoffs. If you want to win games, then great.
Yeah.
But I think that you need to continue to see what you have in Malik Willis, because who's your backup next year?
Yeah, you don't have, as of now, I mean, he would be the backup, but, you know, you want to see, you know, what you have, or not necessarily what you have, but has he progressed as a quarterback? I know he hasn't played, but has he been able to do enough classwork and watching that once he get underneath center, some things may now click with him because he had an opportunity to sit back and just watch even more. But I'm afraid even if you put Malik Willis in there, it's going to – that may cause him his job because it's going to look very ugly the next three games with Malik Willis at quarterback.
And
I like Malik Willis
the
person, and I think he is, you know – I think eventually he can be a backup in this league, but you put him out there in front of that offensive line.
Oh, it's not going to look good.
It's going to look really bad.
You might lose by 50.
Really bad. It's going to – Derrick Henry can't run the football. You can't block. And then the quarterback has a hard time at reading the field. Yeah, it would be real ugly. Really ugly.
Okay, and that's something I had
to
thought
about. So
they're
in the rock, between the rock and the hard place right now.
This is, again, where you have to be on the same page with your owner.
Mm-hmm.
And publicly, at least through the reports, Amy Adams Strunk has said, you know, Mike Vrabel, I believe in him. He's mm-hmm. going to be the coach. I'm not trading him. Or all of the whatever came out of the Diana Russini thing. Because I do think you have to be realistic as you communicate with mm-hmm. her. And he said publicly, they talk a lot. I think you got to say, Amy, look, we got a situation here. My offensive line is struggling. I've got an injured rookie quarterback here that I don't want to put in harm's way here. Here's the situation with Tannehill, right? But I think you have to be real. These last games may not look great. And if so, we got to keep this in perspective. Hopefully she's on board with that. Because you're right. In worst case scenario, they could look bad. And that's when you would have a lot of people howling and saying, it's Vrabel's fault. No, but I think we got to be real. These mm-hmm. next three games, they're out of it. You want to see them keep playing hard with whoever does suit up, but it may not look pretty.
I think the Amy Adams Strunk perspective is an important factor here mm-hmm. because even though they're out of the playoffs, you don't want to be embarrassed.
No.
Mike Vrabel doesn't want to be embarrassed. This team doesn't want to be embarrassed. I mean, Mike Vrabel said it several times. Like, we're just trying to win games. It's easy for us to get up here and sit in front of a microphone and say, well, you're out of it, so you may as well just throw these games. May as well just see what
right.
you got.
You
and Otis Reese
games.
And Malik Willis.
You can't do that. But you want to say, look, we're going to play hard. Mm-hmm. But
right.
we don't have the horses right now.
But Amy doesn't want to be embarrassed. And I think she got embarrassed yesterday that you went out there with the Oilers uniforms on and Mike Vrabel walking in with the Bum Phillips cowboy hat. And you put out that
yeah.
performance.
But they
That's
played hard, though. They played very hard yesterday. They didn't play well, but they played very hard, and it was competitive against a team that is playing for a playoff spot. I think that's important, mm-hmm. right? I know we look at the Texans, and we're like, they're not that great. They got these guys hurt. But that was a team that was playing for something yesterday, mm-hmm. and the Titans matched them in terms of intensity and Hart. They did not check out. I have seen Titans teams in the past, and I will give you one that pops right in my head. They played a game at Jacksonville. I think it was Pac-Man Jones' rookie year. It was a bad year. It was D-Mace, you were gone.
Yeah.
You were gone. You were with the Ravens, and things were going well with the Ravens. But they looked horrible. They mailed it in at the end of the first quarter. It was over. It just they didn't show up. Mm-hmm. They showed up yesterday. So I think that's important because you'll see what it looks like if they don't show up. Because then it will be 50-0. Because that is what happens if you don't show up in this league, especially if you're playing against a team that's got something to play for. So it can. There's different types of embarrassment, frustration when you lose a close game. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, my team's fighting. My team is playing hard. They didn't mail it in.
But that might be a tough sell to an owner. That intensity and heart is great. But intensity and heart don't pay the bills.
You can't control how one person feels. The owner is – that's the thing. But I'm just saying I'm trying to separate what I would think. Mm-hmm. I like that they are playing hard and they're not mailing it in because I feel like that happens to a lot of teams. They just check out.
Yeah, I mean, it can. I don't expect this team to check out. I think that's why the move to release Tier Turk was, I think, a move they felt they had to make because it had the potential to disrupt the locker room and disrupt it even more. They were, they lost. But, you know, you don't want that, that player being disgruntled. Over a contract situation, in the locker room, in a sense of we're losing and it's one problem compounded by another problem. And it just starts to, bring things down. So, I mean, they got three games left. I don't know what the hell they can do other than, if you enjoy playing this game. And Vrabel said, you just got to remember the why. That's all I can as a coach. Why are you coaching one? Why are you coaching this game? Because you know once you get into this business, there's going to be some great moments, and then there's going to be some moments that is just like, God, I don't even want to go outside. It's been so bad. But you always got to remember the why. Why am I coaching? And then players, remember, why are you playing this game? It can be for a contract. It can be because you love it. Whatever. Figure out your why. Hold on to that why. And as long as you have that why, that's going to go out and give you that whatever you need to play hard and physical. I'm from a school of, I don't care if we're 0-19 or 19-0. I'm still playing the same way. I'm still giving the same intensity. I'm still giving my all, practice, and in the game. So I don't understand, if it does happen where guys just start, I don't know how to comprehend that because that's not my makeup. And I'm sure on that team, they have guys with that makeup. Like, I know we're out of playoffs, but we're playing next Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we got to go out and play hard, fast, and physical, regardless of what's going on. I believe they have enough of those guys on the team than not. So hopefully that'll help them out. It may not equate to a win, but like Willie said, they played hard. You just hope they continue to play hard.
Right to your phones on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, tomorrow between 9 and 11 a.m., Chase and Big Joe will be giving away tickets to see Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown Band at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, August 3rd. I want to go to that. Each weekday winner will also qualify to win a $250 Electronic Express gift card. Tomorrow morning between 9 and 11 a.m. with Chase and Big Joe. Let's get into your thoughts. Your phone, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Everything is on the line. Your reaction to the Titans 19-16 overtime loss to the Texans in Mike Vrabel's press conference. Cam has been waiting very patiently and is next. What's up, Cam?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So, I agree with Willie. I don't think bringing in an offensive coordinator to change everything up. I think the offense that we run now is the closest to what they ran at Kentucky, which is beneficial to Willis. At the same time, though, D-Mace, you got to back me up here. Tim Kelly's got the hardest job in the NFL. Because out of, let's just say, for example, he's got 200 play calls. Probably half of those are handicapped because he has to decide which ones are going to get blown up by the line. And he has to decide who's going to get hit. And would you want your King Henry to get hit, or would you want your rookie quarterback to get hit? And even then, he still got hit seven times. And more than that, I'm sure. And I just don't understand how every – because Tim Kelly, I feel like he's been doing a great job, a fantastic job. The only issue is the offensive line will fold at any corner at any time. And I just don't – you're having to keep up with down and distance, the motions of the game. And now on top of that, you have to deal with, let me guess which side of the line is going to fold on this play.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for the call, Cam. Appreciate it. That's the tough thing for me. My response to Titans fans saying, get rid of Tim Kelly, fire Tim Kelly. He is so handcuffed by the offensive line. That should he have called probably fewer runs on first down yesterday? Yeah, I think you could make that argument. But also, the offensive line couldn't run block, couldn't pass protect. They couldn't do anything. I do agree with the fact that Tim Kelly might have a, I'm not going to say the most difficult job in the NFL, but he's got a tough
one. It's challenging.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult job. The offensive line couldn't walk and chew bubblegum yesterday for some reason.
And the disappointing thing was I thought they were making some gains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not anything to write home about, but it was a they were giving themselves a chance
mm-hmm.
the 2 weeks before that. And yesterday was a revert back to what we saw in the games in Jacksonville mm-hmm. and in Tampa where they just – they got to that point where they couldn't run anything. Right. They couldn't run an offense.
Yeah, people. I mean, the fans just got to understand, you can't keep on going on this, you know, revolving door. One offensive coordinator in, another one out. Another one in, another one out. Ultimately, you got to look at, you know, one, the players. And then, you know, what is the head coach and, you know, the GM doing to surround you with good enough players on offense? I think Tim Kelly is a good play caller in this league. I really do. He's shown that he can be innovative. You know, he's shown that he can stay ahead of plays. But when you don't have the tools you need to work with, it's like asking a carpenter to do his job, but you're giving him a spoon and a fork and a soup, a big soup spoon, and say, okay, go ahead and do your job. He's like, I know what to do. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Tim Kelly. It's like, I know what plays would work, but I can't do it because I got a bunch of spoons and forks and I need some hammers and I don't have any hammers. So fans, get off of Tim Kelly. The blame should be pointed upward to the head coach, not laterally to the offensive coordinator. Don't stop doing that. Stop giving him a pass. Do I think Vrabel's a good coach? Hell yeah, I think he's a good coach. But what's going on is a part of his problem. He's a part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to blame, again, I am not going to blame Tim Kelly for none of this that's going on because he had nothing to do with it. He's the offensive coordinator. He's working with what he has, and he's trying to put these players in the best position he could possibly put them in to succeed, but it's hard to do that when the one area that you need to at least hold up,
mm-hmm.
it's not doing any of that.
Yeah, and it's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Even the area of your offensive line that was supposed to be a beacon of hope for this team, the mm-hmm. 11th overall pick, he had a rough day yesterday.
That's one, again, where I have given a lot of thought mm-hmm. of, okay, how much is on him and how much is just we're asking a lot when there's just not much on either side of you. And I there were a lot of times, and I also thought he was not 100%. I thought he got banged up early in the game, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to factor that in as well. And he didn't use that as an excuse, but remember, he did go down mm-hmm. early in the game. I thought I was checking to make sure he was staying in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So
did he stay
I don't
in
know.
Or he came out, I think he came out of play, or he ended up staying in. They may have taken the time out.
He went down twice. Early in the game mm-hmm. and finished the game. So it wasn't his best game. But if you're just all over him and you think he's a bust all of a sudden, I'm not ready to go there at all.
I think he's pretty good.
Yeah,
he's not a bust, but
I think he's a good player.
It's hard when you're watching the offensive line. It's a little bit easier to notice, you know, the tackles doing good or bad. It's easy because a lot of times they're on an island by themselves, and you know when they get beat or you know when they pancake somebody because it's in full view. But for the guard, it's a little bit different because there's a lot of combination blocks in there. There's a lot of, you know, communicating with either the tackle or the centers. Like, okay, I got prime example. We talked about it off here. When the big fella beat both he and Duncan straight up with a bull rush. He beat both of them, pushed them back.
He pushed them like a revolving door, it was easy.
But I'm sure the design of the play was, let's start on a double team and guards are able to sift off to the linebacker. You tackle, stay on your defensive tackle. That's your guy. I'm helping you so you can set your position and then push him down. Well, Peter, I believe, did the right thing. But Duncan didn't. But then that makes Peter look equally bad. Exactly. Yeah. That makes it look like who was it? And if we don't know who it was, then it was both of their fault.
Whatever. It was bad. It was bad. It was awful yesterday. That might have been the worst offensive line performance all year long.
It was. But I heard that, look, Jared asked some very good questions in there at that press conference. But if one of his things is Skoronski's not that good, I don't buy that. I feel like Skoronski is progressing as a good player, maybe a step back yesterday in a tough deal. But I would like to know from somebody on the inside, was he banged up in the game? Because when a guy goes down on the field and can't get up and gets middle, he's dealing with something, right? He's able to continue. That doesn't mean he's not trying to play through what looked like a lower body thing of some sort. I couldn't tell exactly what he was dealing with. That's a lot on a guy's shoulders. So that is that a film he's going to say, this is one of my best games, people. Watch this. I'm an upcoming star.
No.
Not at all. But there's a lot that he's dealing with there. He is one of the least of their problems, I think. It's the guys. They got to get other guys. Like you said, D-Maze, they need two more guys. They need two rocks.
Exactly.
To stabilize the line, at least. But realistically, give me two guys, and I think...
Give me a tackle in the center, and I can... We'll
and
be
Skoronski
fine.
Will we'll be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
And I don't wish injury on it. Anyone, I almost hope that there's something going on with Peter Skoronski, just so there is some sort of explanation as to his steps back that he took yesterday. Because I think he had a bad day. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he had a bad day. And I hope.
But you saw him go down, right?
I'm not making it up.
Oh,
no. Yeah. There was one in particular, I think it was in the first half, that you saw him on the ground wincing. And I wasn't sure he was coming back. He was slow to get up. Yeah. All right. I want to get back into your phones on this, but first we're going to chat with TD, Teron Davenport, coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold.